This is ISU head men's basketball coach Dan Muller. You're listening to the voice of all things Redbirds, AM 1230, WJBC, and WJBC.com.
The Dan Muller Show on the Country Financial Redbird Radio Network is brought to you by Country Financial Representative Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, Miller Lite, and your host, Hy-Vee Market Grill.
Yes, from free.
Redbird Basketball on The Voice, 1230 WJBC and WJBC.com. Here's the voice of the Redbirds, Dick Ludtke.
It's the Dan Muller Show here at Market Grill at Hy-Vee, brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. Welcome, everyone. Dick Ludtke here, along with my colleague Mike Matthews, our on-site engineer Nick McClintock. Blake Haas is our producer back at our studios at WJBC, and Dan Muller is coach of the first place Illinois State Redbirds, who are now 15-1. In the Missouri Valley Conference and headed for the last week of the regular season. Dan, what an exciting race this is.
It is an exciting race, and we're fortunate to be in the position we are, but it's also through a lot of hard work by the guys, had great attitudes. The crowd was terrific the other night. It's been terrific. But, you know, a week left, two games, 15-1, chance to win the league. I'd sign up for that every year.
That's a pretty good deal, yeah, if you can work it out.
It sure is.
Speaking of good crowds, we have one here this evening.
Oh, well, how about this group? I'll tell you what, brought out Bloomington's finest.
Absolutely, and we're happy that you're all here, and certainly we're happy for those of you who are listening on WJBC and WJBC.com. Well, a couple of narrow escapes, but the bottom line is you get a win. When you lose by a big margin, as you did at Wichita State, Dan, it's just one loss. When you win narrowly, it's one entire victory. You get credit for the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's important, and you know, you got to be careful this time of the season. It is important for the guys to be excited about where we're at and to stay focused on what we've done to get here. And as we've talked enough about it. We've got to fix a couple things. And it's been hard with Mikhail in and out of the lineup. You know, guys' roles are changing almost to the game. But that being said, 15-1, you know, a lot of times you go through the year, and I honestly don't know what our record is. Like, I still don't know what our overall record is right now. But
23-5.
23-5. So you look at that, and for a second you think, wow, that's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
But it can get lost in the grind of the everyday process. But those guys in those red and white uniforms, I tell you, they've been terrific. It's been so much fun. We know we have a huge week ahead of us, but we're just focused on today being a great day. I just left practice, came straight here. We had a very good day and a big game on Wednesday.
So do you worry at all about how your players respond to the narrowness of the two victories? I mean, it seems as though maybe it could diminish confidence a little bit, but maybe also it makes your guys feel like, man, this is kind of predestined, this success that we're having this year.
Yeah, you always try to figure out where your guys' minds are at, and we did talk about, and we've talked about it after the game, there's value in being confident at the end of a close game and understanding we can make big plays, big shots. But I think that, again, Mikhail in and out of the lineup, when he came back, I don't know if there was a collective just like, okay, we're good now. You know, we're going to win no matter what. I do know the fact that guys' roles change when Mikhail's in has affected their play, without question. You look at Keyshawn Evans, David, and Phil, who were terrific with Mikhail being out. It's hard. You know, their shots are coming a little bit different, a little less. Their minutes might be affected, and that's hard for a player towards the end of the year. And we've got to help them with that. But I like where we're at. I trust those guys a ton in that locker room. Our leadership's been terrific. We did make big plays down the stretch. Tony getting in foul trouble really hurt us yesterday. But as we've said many times, two games left, one home game, one road, and we're right where we want to be.
You've been saying for the last 4.5 years that you play a team a second time, a lot of things change. It seems like a lot of things are changing, not in our favor. I mean, Loyola yesterday, they played great.
Oh, they were great, and we talked about a lot of these things, but, you know, when you're in first, teams get up to play, and Loyola's played very good basketball. They've had their last, I think they've lost four in a row on the road, by a total of 8 points.
Yep.
I mean, think about that.
That's right.
So each game is by two. I don't know if there's a one and a three in there.
There was two of those, I believe, were overtime. Yes, two right. were overtime, and I think you're right. 2-2, 1-3.
Right, and so they've been playing very good basketball. Porter's done a terrific job. But we also, with foul trouble, not having Mikhail, I couldn't put him in yet. A couple guys, a little low confidence, I think, because of the adjustment. They went on a run. Our turnovers, we know that. But they played terrific, and we've got to play better. We've got to execute better. It's funny, if you look at our stat sheet from yesterday, it's pretty amazing. They shot 40%. They're 10th in the country or 9th in the country in field goal.
49.5% right. for the year coming in.
We shot 48% from the field. We out rebounded by 13. We had 18 assists. All the numbers line up except for two. We only forced four turnovers,
yeah.
and they had 14, and we had 14 turnovers. And that right there was the entire difference. So we did a lot of good things, but our ball care almost cost us the game.
Four turnovers forced is your lowest number of the year. And so you look, you evaluate how you played defense and the 40.7 shooting percentage for them, especially in the context of what they've done for the season,
right.
seems excellent. But is the forced four turnovers evidence that you didn't play defense as well as you should have?
Well, we talked about it after Missouri State. We had some breakdowns that we don't normally have. And that led to some made baskets. But when you don't force any turnovers, the first thing you have to do is give credit to the other team, without a doubt. It's hard to force turnovers. A lot of turnovers are unforced. A lot of our turnovers are unforced. And they made great decisions. But it does speak a little bit to deflections that we're not getting, maybe some speed and activity that we've had in other games where we forced turnovers. We forced more turnovers in our zone than our man. We didn't play it much. But most of the credit in that situation goes to the other team, Loyola.
And they did play well, as did Missouri State. And it's not surprising that they play well against the team that's lost only one game in the league.
Coach, if the offense is struggling a little bit or the defense is struggling a little bit, do you think that ever carries over to the other side of the ball?
Oh, without a doubt, individually and as a team. And we've got a little bit of that going on with some individuals right now. And it can be both ways. Obviously, the offense affects the defense more often than it's the other way around because it's such a individual thing. Offensively, it's scoring, and you get your mind on are you making shots. Defensively, it's a little harder to get selfish, but there's no doubt that can affect the team and more specifically individuals.
I want to go back to your comments about the role changes with Mikhail's absence and then the role change again when Mikhail is back. The good news out of all of that, it seems to me, is that people like Dauda Njai, Madison Williams to a degree, Keyshawn Evans, gained experience that they would not have otherwise gained had Mikhail never been hurt. So if you're looking for a silver lining to Mikhail's injury, that maybe is it.
Well, there's great value in experience no matter what or how you get it or when you get it. And so there's no doubt that was good. But as I said, there's not a doubt in my mind that Mikhail coming back negatively affected those guys' confidence. Obviously, it's not Mikhail's fault, but when you got a guy who's now played 22 and 23 minutes and he's more of an impact guy on the offensive end, Keyshawn Evans, again, who is getting a lot of those minutes and shots, his role changes. Phil Fain, some of his touches here and there, and mostly Dauda's minutes, not so much his offensive production, but his minutes. The last two games have gone down. And they were in such great rhythm, all three of those guys. They were in such good rhythm with when Mikhail was playing, coming off the bench, getting their minutes, being productive. It's not easy, I'm just telling you. It's not easy for anybody at any level, but especially a 20-year-old, to just go up and down roles, minutes, shot allocation. And so, we got to help those guys with that. And then that's where sometimes it might affect the defensive end.
And maybe even for your guys whose minutes were not affected because they're playing with a different team.
Yeah, in some ways, but those other, you know, we only play eight. Those other three guys, Paris, Deontay, and Tony, the experience comes into play. They're not affected by those things nearly as much. It affects less experienced guys. Everything affects less experienced guys than guys with experience. And so that's not – and their roles, honestly, their minutes, not much was affected with those guys other than the fact that, as I've talked about, it helps – specifically Deontay, but it helps all those guys when Mikhail's on the court.
Speaking of Deontay Hawkins, he is our player guest for this program, and he is also, this is good timing, the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Week for his performance in those two narrow Redbird victories last week. And so we'll be talking with him here soon.
I got a chance for one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
Go to the commercial. I'll ask it on the other side.
All right, perfect. I do want to remind you that the Redbirds are at home against Southern Illinois on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. That's an early game, and that's much better than a later game as far as your broadcasters are concerned up here, and maybe for you too. I don't know, maybe you like to stay up late, but 6 o'clock is an excellent time to play a basketball game. But be advised that it is at 6 o'clock, and be advised that the seniors will be honored at about, what, 5:45 probably or
5:45, yeah.
So you want to be in your seats by then.
Closer to 5:40, I would say.
Okay, yeah, just play it safe. Be there by 5:40. We'll honor the senior players, all four of them, plus three senior managers, and you will want to be there for that. We're going to talk with Dan about the seniors, and we're going to find out what Mike's question is for the head coach when we come back in a moment. This is the Dan Muller Show, brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial reps Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg. We're back after this on WJBC and WJBC.com.
Live and local from the Nordine Remodeling and Roofing and NordineRemodeling.com studios, this is the voice of Central Illinois, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Dan Muller Show from the Hy-Vee Market Grill, sponsored by Country Financial representatives Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, and by Miller Lite. Michael?
Okay, we're in a kind of a pennant race, if you will, trying to see the finish line. We're playing 18 games. We're 15-1. We were 13-1. You've been through this. Are our guys starting to see the finish line and starting to feel the pressure?
You know, it's something that I've thought about and wondered, because you wonder everything at all times. And I think there's a lot of pressure on these kids these days, a lot more that is external than when I played, a lot more that is felt. And so I think that could be part of it. I did a bad job. I talked a little bit too much, and I told the team today, I've talked too much about winning a championship the last few weeks, and I think it's hurt our team. And so we've tried to get back to focusing on the day-to-day routine that got us playing so well. But there is a lot of pressure. I mean, there just is on kids these days. When I played, we didn't have to deal with all the questions and the social media and the – I mean, honestly, even all our games are on TV. I mean, just things like that add so much pressure to kids these days, not just basketball players, but kids in general.
And sometimes when you want something so bad,
oh, yeah,
you can taste it. That adds to the pressure also.
It does, and we've got some guys that are handling that well, and we have some guys that might not be. But I'm not ready to say that's why we've struggled a little bit the last two games. I think it's more of just the things I talked about earlier and relaxing a little bit, Mikhail in and out. But it could be. It could be. And so it's my job to help. Hey, we talk about pressure a lot with our guys last year, this year. Pressure is a privilege. It is a privilege to feel pressure, because if you have no pressure in your life, you got nothing going on, as I tell the guys.
You have to have some success before there's pressure to feel.
Well, yeah, you do. But not only that, but when you're an adult, you have a family, there's pressure to provide for your family.
Sure.
If you have a job, there's pressure to perform no matter what. Basically, the only people in life that have no pressure are people who, and I don't want to call them bad names, but people who have nothing going on in life.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between pressure and stress. If you're prepared, pressure is a great thing. If you're not prepared, you feel stress.
There are all kinds of parallels between competitive athletics and living on this earth.
Without a doubt.
And that's what makes competitive athletics for me, and I think for a lot of people, so wonderful.
Well, it's the thing that's most rewarding, as you can help young men grow, and you can hopefully help them become better citizens and husbands and fathers, as we all talk about. But there's not sports, if done the right way, are so good for kids and people. Teamwork, sacrifice, selflessness, discipline, effort, playing through pain, toughness, everything that goes into it are beneficial if handled the right way.
Very well said. And I have to say, I love the fact that your players are wanting so badly to win a regular season championship. There's so much focus on the NCAA tournament and getting into the tournament, and obviously we're all eager to have that happen. But winning a regular season championship would, to a lot of Redbird fans, be very, very meaningful.
Well, I would hope so. It's really much more of an indicator on your season than
That's
the postseason.
Right.
I understand that the postseason is more important in the eyes of many, but you play an 18-game schedule. Whoever's ahead at the end is the best team in the league.
It's a much better test.
It's a much better test. So our guys have been focused on that. It's a big goal of ours, and we all know we're close. But, again, we're trying to get back to focusing more on the day-to-day things that got us playing so well now that we're hopefully getting healthy.
Well, the next game that you're focused on at the moment is against the Salukis of Southern Illinois, as we said earlier. Team that you did beat in Carbondale, but that was a very competitive game. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about the Salukis later, but I want to get to the fact that it's senior day, Dan, and we've talked about the fact that your senior players and managers will be honored at around 5:40 to 5:45. Be in your seats at Redbird Arena by 5:40 so that you can be there to honor these guys. That'll be a great, great moment for them, for you, and for all of us. But I just want to get some thoughts from you on each of these four guys, your four players, not necessarily as players, but as young men with whom you've been working for a long time. And let's start with your walk-on, Javaka Thompson. Tell us about him as a person.
Yeah, and I'll go through those four, and I'll also hit on our three managers, so I'll go a little quicker because they're important to me and our program also. Javaka, selfless, wonderful kid, just a great person who gives good leadership to our team and has improved as a player, but more importantly improved as a leader on our team, and a guy's respect so much. And I know who they are, so you don't need to tell me who's next.
You do know.
I do know, sorry.
Oh, well, man, you're a smart guy.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I have it written down. Paris, of course, Paris is going to go down as one of the best players in Illinois State history. Bottom line, whether you look at statistics, what he's meant to the program, what he's done on and off the court, but he's a great kid, a great person, a great young man now, grown with his toughness and his discipline, just represents, he's so good with fans and kids, as all our guys are. He's everything you want in a player. Tony Wills, a lot of these are going to sound the same. We know he's grown from a quiet kid to a talkative young man, and he loves kids. He likes babies. Like, he loves, you see a baby, he picks them up and holds them. He's just got such a pure heart, and it shows on the court, but it also shows in every aspect of his life. Probably the most appreciative kid on our team, and we have a lot of guys to appreciate, but Tony Wills is probably the most appreciative kid on our team, and I appreciate that. Of course, Deontay, grown so much, is so good with people, and you look at what the things he's doing on the court right now with Player of the Week, and you can see the correlation. You can see the exact same thing off the court. He's just become a guy who everybody on our team loves. He's a great teammate, and his consistency has just continued to improve, and it's just so cool to see and be a part of. Dan, Joel, and Keith are our three senior managers, and I'll just kind of bunch them together a little bit, but we couldn't ask for a better managerial crew. These guys are so good. It's unbelievable. They're in at all hours. They love basketball, and they complement each other. They're tireless workers. They are always in good moods, and our players respect them so much. They're so, the relationship between our players and our managers is so healthy, and it's very important to me. We stress it. It helps that Luke Jaklich is on my staff as a former manager. But those three guys mean so much to our program, and we're going to miss them like crazy. But we sure have had a lot of fun with them, and they're very good basketball players too. And they just love it. They love it.
And the three of them weren't in all that great a mood last Thursday morning in Springfield, Missouri.
I tell you what, I almost fired all of them. We lost
and
our
they
very
liked
first. Trust me, I was talking about it today. We lost our very first ever managerial game in the history of Illinois State basketball last Tuesday night, or whenever
Wednesday,
it was,
yeah.
Before our game. I will put an asterisk on it, okay? And this is where it comes into play. So they set up games often. Well, we travel with four guys, of course. So we go play, our guys go play the Missouri State managers. Now, they came and played us at home. and we beat them. But I think they just played 4-on-4 anyway. We go play them 4-on-4, full court, a full 40-minute game.
Oh,
we have four guys.
It was full court?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thursday they had eight guys.
Yeah.
So they're subbing in and out.
Sure.
From what I hear.
And Kuz is injured. He's got a bad ankle.
Joel's ankle is a little, not 100%. From what I hear, they had the lead till the end, but they couldn't finish it out. Now, they still are going to go down as first team they ever lost in Illinois State managerial history.
Well, and they have a chance to redeem themselves at the tournament.
I think they're starting to feel.
We lost. Redemption. I mean, yeah, we're going to go win. The dynasty's going to continue still. We're going to go down to St.
Right,
Louis and
right.
win,
but
or they're going to walk back.
Pretty hard to swallow.
Yeah, you better believe it. It's
what do we got coming along? Do we have any? How's the recruiting going? I mean, those are three seniors.
No, we got some good young players,
right,
without a doubt.
Okay.
We're
right.
developing them. My ops guys, well, Spencer Johnson, Darshawn McClellan, they're really developing those guys. They play. I jump in there and play with them sometimes, but I think we're okay. We're in good hands.
They're great kids.
Well, and one of the things you referred to there, the rapport between the managers and the players. And sometimes I've seen sort of a class separation
yep.
there, but you don't see that at all with this unit.
Well, you're not going to as long as I'm here. It's important that we respect and treat those guys as our peers as they are, but just the respect that they have because it's earned mutually. And it's neat to see. It's fun to see, but they're truly really good friends. Everybody in our program.
You got to watch. You don't get a chance to. You got to watch Javaka Thompson on the bench some night for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He is just a ball of nerves. The other night, he was stressing out.
Well,
big time.
He's locked in. He is. He stays focused on the game. He doesn't crowd watch. He's locked in the scout report. I do know that. And really, really cares about the success of our team at a high level.
Well, he's one of the four senior players who will be honored on Wednesday night. We're going to talk with one of the others. Deontay Hawkins, the Dayton, Ohio native, will be up here to be grilled by Mike Matthews next. The Dan Muller Show from the Hy-Vee Market Grill, brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. We're back with Deontay after we pause for this on WJBC and WJBC.com.
This is Dick Lutke, and this is Sports Talk on the Voice of the Redbirds, WJBC and WJBC.com.
It's the Dan Muller Show from the Hy-Vee Market Grill, sponsored by Country Financial representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson, and by Miller Lite, Redbirds, and the Salukis on Wednesday night. Again, a 6 o'clock start, senior day, and they'll be honored at approximately 5:40 to 5:45 as we now welcome our player guest, the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Week, Deontay Hawkins.
Thank you.
Congrats on that award, Deontay. Now you have to contend with a much tougher challenge than those other players in the Missouri Valley Conference. You have to deal with Michael Matthews. Good luck to you.
Right. And I'll have you know I'm perfect on the year. I'm 0-4, so.
Okay.
All right. You want the personal questions first? You want to play a little fast break? What do you want? What's on the menu? Okay.
It's up to you.
I was playing golf today, and they started grilling you.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
What other sports did you play in high school?
None.
When you get the ball on the baseline and you kind of turn and use the glass –
yeah.
You don't square up. How do you know when to release the ball?
I don't know. It's just.
What do you look at? Do you look at the square? Do you look at the side of the rim?
I look at the basket.
You can't see it because you're not totally turned. When do you first pick it up?
I still see it, like from my
peripheral vision.
All right.
I still see
it. All right. Why aren't you a little bit more selfish on offense? Why don't you take more shots? Why don't you go inside more? Why don't you shoot all your shots from outside?
That's not my game.
That's not your game?
That's not my game.
All right. All right, enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're golfers. They don't know anything about
okay.
basketball like you and I. All right, you ready to go?
Yes.
Favorite thing about Illinois State?
The community.
Best part of your game?
I can shoot the three.
Part of your game you need more work on?
Ball handling.
Your role model?
My mom.
First car you ever drove?
A Rendezvous, a Buick.
Nice. Four-door?
Four-door.
Assistant coach most like Coach Muller?
Coach Reese.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Favorite part of practice?
Skill work.
Worst part?
16 in a minute.
I've seen that a few times.
What is it? We should get an explanation there. What is that, Deontay?
You're on the sideline, and you got to touch each
sideline 16 times in 1 minute.
Can't be that tough, is it?
Sounds like fun.
It's tough.
Place in the world you'd like to visit?
Australia.
Why?
Looked beautiful, and I had a teammate in high school. He was from Australia, and it was just...
Maybe we'll go together. That's on my bucket list, too.
Okay.
You pay. I'll go with you. Favorite fast food?
It had to be Popeye's.
Really? How come we never get that postgame?
I don't know.
That's good stuff.
It is.
Favorite NBA player?
Kobe Bryant.
Why do you wear number 23?
I don't know. I wanted 3, but 23 is closer. Close to 3.
That guy in Chicago that wore 23 was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite dinner?
Homemade baked mac and cheese.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Better noodles?
Yes.
Nice.
Way better than noodles.
Coach Mueller is always telling me to. I mean, you can pass on that question if you want.
Pass.
Favorite thing to do when you're relaxing?
Playing with my dog.
Favorite thing to watch on TV?
Probably the Jamie Foxx show or Shameless.
Okay. Now, these next 8, I want one-word responses. First thing that pops into that coconut of yours.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Mekhi'l McIntosh.
Loud. Super loud.
You know, he's really a pretty good dancer.
Neil, yeah, he is.
He is. For a big man, he... Okay, that's got nothing to do with this. Paris Lee.
Leader.
Phil Fane.
Energy guy.
Javaka Thompson.
Aggressive.
Best defender.
Tony.
Best leaper.
Phil.
Best dressed.
Me. Not right now, but...
Worst dressed.
Macau.
Can I throw a name of a walk? How about Isaac Gassman?
He got a little flavor to his...
That's flavor?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Who wins a dunking contest between you and Phil Fane?
The high school meet?
No.
Okay.
Today.
Phil.
Good answer. I think we'd all agree. One thing ISU fans would be surprised to know about Deontay Hawkins.
I'm shy.
Really?
I'm real shy.
Okay, final question. Toughest one of the night.
Okay.
Who is the most competitive teammate that you see every day in, day out in practice, in games, off the floor, on the floor? Who's the most competitive Redbird?
It's hard.
I mean, if you were going to go to war, who are you taking with you?
I'm taking Paris.
Really?
I'm taking Paris.
Good call. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Deontay.
No problem.
That was well done, Deontay. A couple of things intrigued me. You have a dog.
I do.
What kind of dog?
It's a teacup Yorkie.
A teacup Yorkie?
Yes, so it's about, like, this big.
What name? What's the name?
Pablo.
What?
Pablo.
Pablo. Mm-hmm. So it's a male dog.
It is.
Does he go to the games? No.
Do you walk it down the street? Do you feel a little crazy walking this dog down the street?
Not really, but I get kind of scared because I might step on him.
I hope I don't see you out walking. If I see a 6'8 guy walking this little dog, I'll roll down the window.
Well, that's neat to hear that you're an animal guy and have a pet.
Senior night.
Yeah, will Pablo be there for senior night? He'd like
to
be.
If he allowed in an arena, of course.
Okay. Talk to some of the arena guys.
Okay.
And you mentioned your mom as the most influential person in your life. Tell us a little bit about her.
Man, she's a hard-working woman. Ever since I was little, she just was on the go working, trying to provide for me and my 3 other siblings. And, I never really seen her, like, complain or anything about, you know, going to work and providing for us. So
does she have any problem getting after you?
Yes, she do. She does.
She does get after you. Yes, yeah.
She
does. No problem doing
she
it.
Do. Every time she calls me, it's something. But
it's her job.
I try to keep less stress off of her.
Well, that's fantastic. Does she get to see you play much?
She try to tune in and come to a couple games as much as possible. But like when I was young, she never came to any games
because she had other things she had to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic, Deontay. We. We have very much enjoyed watching you mature, you. Not only as a player, but as a person here at Illinois State.
And your friendship. You're a good kid.
Absolutely. You. You'll look back on these years as some pretty happy years in your life, I assume.
Yes, sir.
Well, keep it going. Let's finish off with a strong season. Deontay, congrats on all you've accomplished so far, and congrats on what's ahead.
Thank you.
Deontay Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen, the senior from Dayton, Ohio, our player guest on this edition of the Dan Muller Show. We'll be back with the head coach after we pause for this on WJBC and WJBC.com.
This is ISU head volleyball coach Melissa Myers, and you are listening to Sports Talk on the Voice of the Redbirds, WJBC and WJBC.com.
This is the Dan Muller Show. We're at the Market Grill at Hy-Vee, and welcome back, everyone. Dan Muller Show brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson as the head coach rejoins us. Deontay Hawkins, a delightful young man. We enjoyed visiting with him. And, Dan, when you were talking about your senior players, one of the things you mentioned is their love of young kids.
Yep.
There are lots of young kids at Redbird Arena, and they're racing around the court after the game, and the players come out after you've talked with them, and they do a fantastic job of integrating themselves with those young children. That is so nice to see.
Yeah, it's a neat thing that most programs don't allow kids to do, first of all. I love the fact that we allow kids to come down there, and our guys do a great job. And sometimes it's not easy, of course, but they come out there and play with those guys, and hopefully that continues to get that connection between the fans and the players, continue to evolve it. But Deontay does a great job with the kids, and I want to say a couple things. First of all, his mother is a unbelievably wonderful woman who's still working two jobs and going to school, and is just a wonderful, wonderful woman. And I met his dog, so I'm having a meeting with Deontay, Tony, Mikhail, and Paris, and we're sitting there talking, and Deontay came straight from class. He's got his letter coat on, and he's got his sweatshirt on, and all of a sudden he opens his coat, and there's a dog in his pocket. I said, "What are you doing?" "That's my dog." Literally in his pocket of his sweatshirt. That's how small it is, but it is kind of cute. But that's his dog. He loves it.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Tells us a little bit about Deontay Hawkins, something that we didn't know,
yeah.
as you asked.
I thought I asked him almost
earlier,
everything.
Mike.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, that was neat. All right, let's Southern Illinois, the opponent on Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about the Salukis, who are coming off a good win, and they'll be a challenge. They were in Carbondale.
Be a big challenge. Had a lead at half, went down to the wire. I mean, it was a four-point game with, I think, 2.5 minutes left. Keyshawn hits a huge three. Then we extended it a little bit. Played a really good game at Indiana State this past weekend. Had some close losses then. But Barry does a great job. They don't shoot it great in general. They're very physical. They've got Sean O'Brien, who is certainly one of the better players in our league. Mike Rodriguez, as fast as they come. But it'll be a tough game for us. Again, as we said, the first game at their place was really, really a close game.
Rodriguez is so good at getting to the free throw line. How does he do that?
Well, he's fast, number one. He shoots the ball well. You have to guard him because he's got great range. But he's really physical and athletic. I mean, he's 5'8", maybe, and he's dunked a ball in a game before him. He's athletic at the rim. He's so good at getting his body into you. As soon as he gets a step, he gets his body into you. He jumps into you with that athleticism, and he can finish. So sometimes when you're that small, you get a few more calls than if you're like Mikhail's size, but he's very good at getting to your body.
After you watched the film the other night, how did Tony Wills do against Milton Doyle?
Well, Tony did a very good job. Most of Doyle's points were not when Tony was on him. And when they were, not to say he was perfect, but it was a breakdown of some ball screen coverage. But Tony was really good on him. But Milton Doyle was outstanding. I mean, he was, man. And he's had some games like that, but wow, was he good that night, and obviously almost willed their team to victory. But he's a hard guard now. He's a very good player and rarely comes out.
He does so much for them. Yep. I mean, he leads them in assists. He's one of their better rebounders.
He started the game he was guarding Deontay.
Yeah.
I mean, he guards multiple positions, plays the four
good
sometimes,
defender, yeah.
Plays a point guard sometimes. He is a great player that is, from all accounts that I can tell, a really good kid. I've always respected how he competes and his respect for the game. And I think he's already graduated. I'm pretty sure he graduated last year. So he's got a Loyola degree and is a really good player.
That's good to hear. The teams in the middle of the Missouri Valley Conference, I mean, the perception from the outside might be, because two teams are 15-1, and then the next team is six games behind those teams, so the perception might be that those teams in the middle of the pack are not good teams. But when you look at Loyola and at Missouri State, Northern Iowa, and Southern Illinois, those are good teams.
They're very good teams. Quality wins. I mean, a Loyola team that beats a San Diego State. You have a Northern Iowa team that beats Oklahoma. Southern Illinois had a very good non-conference. Missouri State came into league, whatever they were, 11-3 or whatever it was. So our league is good this year. And what it takes is we had a lot of close losses in the non-conference as a league. We had three. Loyola lost at NC State by two. Missouri State had – so you have to win those games in our league to increase your national respect level, and I get that. But they are very quality teams in our league. I still think one through eight probably, the quality of team, or one through ten is as good as it's been since I've been here. And if you look at what Wichita State's doing right now, and, of course, what we've done, we've only lost one game the entire year with our top eight healthy. So I think we have two teams that are NCAA tournament teams. That doesn't mean we'll get in, but I do think we have two teams that are NCAA tournament teams.
Well, and that brings us to the question of, and obviously either the Redbirds or the Shockers are going to need an at-large berth to get in. One of them, at most, will win the tournament. Maybe somebody else will. Who knows?
Right.
But how is that selection committee, and I know you can't answer this, but I'm just throwing it out there as sort of a rhetorical question.
Right.
How does that selection committee view the strength of the overall Missouri Valley Conference, and how does that play into the potential for an at-large for either the Shockers or the Redbirds, or potentially both?
Well, you could, Wichita State being ranked this today, I think they're
25, in the top 25 now. Yeah.
Right, in the AP, which I feel like they deserve that, and it's good for our league. Hopefully they take into account injuries. Hopefully they take into account quality of play on the court. You know, our numbers are pretty good. They're not just jump off the page guaranteed to get you in good, but pretty darn good. And the problem for both of us, I think, is you look at the non-conference schedule and you say, well, who are they beating? Well, try scheduling. Okay, try scheduling when you're doing. We try to schedule very aggressively, and we dropped some, unfortunately, early when we weren't healthy. But hopefully we'll get two teams in.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another break and then come back with more of the Dan Muller Show. We are here at the Market Grill at Hy-Vee. And this show is brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representative Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg. Back with the conclusion of this show after this on WJBC and WJBC.com.
Live and local from the Nordine Remodeling and Roofing and NordineRemodeling.com studios, this is the voice of Central Illinois, WJBC and WJBC.com.
It's the Dan Muller Show from Hy-Vee's Market Grill, sponsored again by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Reps Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg. Southern Illinois, the opponent Wednesday night at Redbird Arena, and then the regular season finale is at Northern Iowa on Saturday afternoon. That's a 1 o'clock game. Of course, you'll hear them both right here on WJBC and WJBC.com. A little over 8,000, Dan, for the game last night, or yesterday afternoon, actually, against Loyola. That's the fourth crowd of the year of 8,000 or better. That's great. I mean, with the kind of season you're having, maybe you'd hope for more, but attendance is up.
Yeah, we'd hope for more, but with the landscape of really athletics in general across the country, we've really appreciated the fans that have come. And I know tomorrow or Wednesday is a tough one, 6 p.m. on a Wednesday, but I said it many times, I hope to have a great crowd for those seniors. Not only that, but it's a huge game. A newsflash, big game for us on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
But again, to honor the seniors, about 5:40, we'll do a presentation. If you can get there for that, awesome. But it's more important you get there for the game. Hopefully our students will come. And finishes out the first ever undefeated season at home in Redbird Arena.
That's the hopes.
That's the goal.
There's the opportunity for that. The last time it happened, actually, was 77-78 when the Redbirds were playing at Horton Fieldhouse. That was before the Missouri Valley Conference, and that was like, that would be 39 years ago.
Think about that. Now, this team's got a chance to do some special things if we could string together a finish here, some record book. They'd be in the record book. But one game at a time, big one on Wednesday against, again, a good Southern Illinois team who is still in strong contention for third place in our league.
Yes. Yep.
With two games left.
They have plenty of motivation, and so it should be interesting. We look forward to that one. Dan, thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
This has been the Dan Muller Show here at Hy-Vee's Market Grill. My thanks to Dan and to our player guest, Deontay Hawkins. To Blake Haas, our in-studio producer, our on-site engineer, Nick McClintock, my colleague, Mike Matthews, Dick Lodke from the Market Grill at Hy-Vee saying so long for now.
This is ISU head men's basketball coach Dan Muller. You're listening to the voice of all things Redbirds, AM 1230, WJBC, and WJBC.com.
The Dan Muller Show on the Country Financial Redbird Radio Network has been brought to you by Country Financial Representative Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, Miller Lite, and your host, Hy-Vee Market Grill.
This is Illinois State men's basketball coach Dan Muller.
This is Illinois State women's basketball coach Barb Smith, and you're listening to the voice of the Redbird,
WJBC
and WJBC.com.
This has been a production of WJBC Radio Sports.
This is Illinois State men's basketball coach Dan Muller, and this is the voice of the Redbirds.
The layup, gone!
WJBC AM Bloomington Normal and WJBC.com, a Cumulus station.